light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is very beautifully reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutations, salawat, salam, 1,000 times upon me daily will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, innuri min nurillah. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Marhaba, khush amdeed, welcome to one and all to another beautiful episode in silsila of this series, The Light of Guidance. You are watching me, I am Muhammad Abdullah Madani. Today we are going to focus on Islamic teachings regarding nikah, regarding marriage. Subhanallah, because marriage is a very sacred bond. Marriage is a mubarak rishta, a mubarak and a blissful bond between two parties, and it is something which obviously requires the teachings of Islam, the practices of Islam. What does Islam say? So inshallah azawajal, very quickly in today's discussion we are going to discuss some brief accounts, some beautiful lessons from the pious predecessors, and then inshallah azawajal, we will then try and rectify ourselves, and most probably we will listen to some very beautiful points which can benefit us, particularly to our married life, if we are married, and if not, then in future when we do get married, then we can benefit from these beautiful points. So our request, one and all, let's make good intentions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very beautifully reported to have said, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi, the intention of a believer is better than his action. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst the many good intentions which you can make, one is that inshallah whatever I discuss today I will try and act upon it. Most importantly, inshallah, whatever we discuss we will try and make it a part of our routine, and if we are married we will try and take some beautiful points and put it in our married lives, and if we are not married then inshallah in future when we are looking for spouses then inshallah we will try and follow these beautiful steps, and it's good guidelines for everyone basically, you know, whether you are married, not married. It's good, and it's good to also advise others as well. Inshallah, inshallah. With these beautiful intentions, let's recite durood upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together collectively. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, a very beautiful incident is in front of me, and this is mentioned in Uyunul Hikayat, that Sayyidina Aslam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Aslam was the companion and you can say the slave of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Khalifatul Muslimin, the second Khalifa of Islam and the second greatest personality after the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. Sayyidina Aslam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would often walk around Medina at night so that he could fulfill the need of anyone. One night, I accompanied him and we walked until he, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, suddenly stopped at a house. A voice could be heard from inside saying, "Daughter, mix some water with the milk." Hearing this, the girl said, "Mother, are you not aware of what Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu has ordered?" Her mother said, "Daughter, what has our caliph decreed?" The girl said, "Amir al-Mu'mineen has announced that nobody should mix water with the milk." Hearing this, the mother said, "Daughter, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is not watching us at this moment. How will he know whether you have added water to the milk?" go and add some water to the milk. Upon hearing this, the girl said, by Allah, I cannot obey him in his presence and then disobey him in his absence. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu cannot see me at this time, but my merciful Lord is watching me. I will never mix water with the milk. Allah Allah. Sayyidina Aslam radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, after hearing this, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to me, O Aslam, take a good note of this house. Note this house, recognize this house. Subhanallah. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu then continued to travel like this through the alleyways. When morning arrived, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu called me and said, O Aslam, go to that house and find out who lives there. Also find out whether the girl is married or not. Sayyidina Aslam radiallahu ta'ala anhu further mentions, I went towards that house and asked about them. I came to know that a widow and her daughter live in the house and her daughter was unmarried. After finding out this information, I went to Sayyidina Umar and told him everything. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, bring all of my sons to me. When all of his sons had gathered, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to them, does anyone from amongst you wish to marry? Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar and Sayyidina Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, we are already married. Sayyidina Asim bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up and expressed a desire to get married. Allah Allah. Sayyidina Umar then sent a marriage proposal to that woman on behalf of his son, which she happily accepted. Thus, the marriage of Sayyidina Asim took place with that woman and they had a daughter. And then that daughter gave birth to Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala, who was a great caliph and a leader in his time. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Habibi ya Rasulullah sallallahu ala Muhammad nurin min nurillah. MashaAllah. What a beautiful incident. And from this incident, how many beautiful lessons we learn. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Starting off first and foremost with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taqwa, piety, having this conscious, having this sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me at every moment. Whatever I do, wherever I am, behind closed doors, behind walls, wherever I am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whatever I am doing and He is aware of everything that I do. This sense that a person has, you know, this is basically the base of taqwa. And if a person has this quality, then subhanallah, you see how quickly he ascends to the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked different questions. One of the questions was, Mal Ihsan, what is Ihsan? And in answer, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and he said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. Ihsan is that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are seeing Him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And if, you know, you cannot see Him, and if you cannot reach that level where you are seeing Allah ta'ala, where you can, you know, feel as if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Definitely Allah ta'ala is watching you, is seeing you. So it's not, you know, something which is difficult to keep in mind. That yes, maybe it might be difficult for you to be in such a state where you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but keep this in your mind that He is definitely seeing you. He knows where you are. He knows what you are doing. He knows how you are doing. He knows what you are thinking. He knows what you thought. He knows what you will think. He knows every single thing in this universe. Not even an atom is, you know, hidden from the sight and from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His knowledge, His sight, His vision, His hearing encompasses everything in the universe. So when you have the sense that Allah ta'ala is watching me, then before you eat anything haram, you will think, Allah ta'ala is watching me, must I do this or not? Before you drink anything haram, before you do anything haram, before you see anything haram, before you listen to anything haram, before you go to any unlawful place, before you do anything, you will think, Allah ta'ala is watching me at this moment. Should I do this or shouldn't I do this? So the first beautiful lesson we learn from this beautiful incident. Obviously, the one who has the fear of Allah Ta'ala, he instills this taqwa, this piety in his heart. And alhamdulillah, we have seen that Allah has blessed those people in this world and in the hereafter as well. Subhanallah. This was obviously the case of this beautiful, wonderful lady, that she adopted the taqwa and the fear. The outcome was that she got a rishta, a proposal from the house of Umar bin Khattab. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I'm sure many women must be crazy that we want to get married in this house here. But subhanallah, just because of her taqwa. And obviously she didn't know that Sayyidina Umar Farooq is outside the tent, outside the house. But Allah ta'ala accepted it in such a way that the proposal came itself to her beautiful house. You know, we listen in this incident that, you know, she got married and she gave birth to a daughter, and the daughter gave birth to Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So, just a brief account of who is Umar bin Abdul Aziz, so you can understand the greatness of that incident, that Allah Ta'ala, how Allah Ta'ala accepted her actions, that the children are also so pious. Who is Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz? Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz was born in Medina Munawwara in 61 or 63 AH after Hijrah. It was in Medina that he learned knowledge and action. And not only was he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, a great scholar of Islam, he had a tremendous amount of respect for knowledge and scholars. And he states, if it is possible for you, then become a scholar. If this is not possible, then become a student of knowledge. And if you cannot do this, then have love for the scholars. And if you cannot even do this, then at least do not have animosity towards them. At the age of 25, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, became the governor of Makkah, Medina, and Taif. After the death of the Caliph, Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, at the age of 36, he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, became the Caliph of the Muslims on the day of Friday. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala, discharged his duty as the Caliph in such a commendable manner that he is known as the second Umar. He remained the Caliph for 2.5 years, and he passed away on the 25th of Rajab 101 AH, which is 101 years after Hijrah, on a Wednesday at the age of approximately 39 years. Very young age. And his Mubarak Mazar is located in Syria. Subhanallah. May Allah have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanallah, the second beautiful lesson we learned from the incident we just learned now is that Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was Amir al-Mu'mineen and Khalifa. And if he would send a proposal to any house, then no one would refuse him. Everyone knows this is the Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Everyone would readily get the daughters married. But look at how beautiful he was, what an excellent personality he was when he chose. He chose that girl who has taqwa, who has piety, who has deen with her. He could choose any wealthy girl. He could choose any rich girl. He could choose any, the most beautiful girl in the entire city. But no, his preference was that girl who has deen. That girl who obeys Allah and the beloved Rasul. That girl who has taqwa and piety in the heart, in her heart, because he knew that this is the thing which is going to benefit not only my son, but the generation and the lineage to continue in the future, inshallah. So this is how our pious predecessors used to search for pious partners. They would look for those people who had the fear of Allah Ta'ala, those people who had deed, those people who were connected to the teachings of Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man came to a well-known tabi'i, Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala, and said, I have a daughter who I love dearly and she has had many proposals. But to whom do you recommend I give her hand in marriage to? He rahmatullahi ta'ala replied, marry her to a man who has the fear of Allah Almighty. For if such a man loves your daughter, he will honor her, and even if he does not like her, he will not be unjust towards her due to his fear of Allah Almighty. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Inshallah, we'll carry on this beautiful discussion after a short break. We'll listen to a beautiful kalam, and as soon as we return, inshallah, we will carry on our discussion. Sallu al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
मैं छोड़े जा रहा हूँ दर तुम्हारा या रसूल
अल्लाह,
मैं छोड़े जा रहा हूँ दर तुम्हारा या रसूल अल्लाह, बुलाना जल्द मुझको फिर खुदारा या रसूल अल्लाह, मैं छोड़े जा रहा हूँ दर तुम्हारा या रसूल अल्लाह, बुलाना जल्द मुझको फिर खुदारा या रसूल अल्लाह,
निगाहे गुम बदे खजरा को तकती और झुक जाती, निगाहें गुंबदे खजरा को तकती और झुक जाती, नजर से छुप गया अब वो नजारा या रसूल अल्लाह, नजर से छुप गया अब वो नजारा या रसूल अल्लाह,
मैं छोड़े जा रहा हूँ दर तुम्हारा या रसूल अल्लाह, बुलाना जल्द मुझको फिर खुदारा या रसूल अल्लाह,
न जाने हाजरी हो कब तेरे दर की, न जाने फिर मुयस्सर हाजरी हो कब तेरे दर की, सलामे आखरी ले लो हमारा या रसूल अल्लाह, सलामे आखरी ले लो हमारा या रसूल अल्लाह,
छोड़े जा रहा हूँ दर तुम्हारा या रसूल अल्लाह, बोला सुना जल्द मुझको फिर खुदारा या रसूल,
गम का गलबा है आंखें रो रही है और दिल पर गम का गलबा है, कि फिर याद आ गया रोजा तुम्हारा या रसूल अल्लाह, कि फिर याद आ गया रोजा तुम्हारा या रसूल अल्लाह,
मैं छोड़े जा रहा हूँ दर तुम्हारा या रसूल अल्लाह, बुलाना जल्द मुझको फिर खुदारा या रसूल अल्लाह,
वो मिंबर की बहारे और वो मेहराब का जलवा, वो मिंबर की बहारे और वो मेहराब का जलवा, मिलेगा कब मुझे ऐसा नजारा या रसूल अल्लाह, मिलेगा कब मुझे ऐसा नजारा या रसूल अल्लाह,
छोड़े जा रहा हूँ दर तुम्हारा या रसूल अल्लाह, बोला सुना जल्द मुझको फिर खुदारा या रसूल।
ست مجھے اے کاش ایسا سوز مل جاتا دم رخ ست مجھے اے کاش ایسا سوز مل جاتا کہ ہو جاتا میرا دل پارا پارا یا رسول اللہ کہ ہو جاتا میرا دل پارا پارا یا رسول اللہ میں چھوڑے جا رہا ہوں در تمہارا یا رسول اللہ بلانا جلد مجھ کو پھر خدا را یا رسول اللہ میں چھوڑے جا رہا ہوں در تمہارا یا رسول اللہ بولا سنا جلد مجھ کو پھر خدا را یا رسول اللہ
صلو الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. Alhamdulillah, welcome back to our silsila, and very wonderfully we are discussing nikah and marriage in modern times and the Islamic teachings regarding nikah and regarding marriage. Alhamdulillah, before the break we discussed the brief account of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his daughter-in-law, how she became his daughter-in-law, mashallah, and what were the beautiful incidents, the fear of Allah Ta'ala, which caused her to become the daughter of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, and some beautiful lessons we learned from that incident. Another beautiful lesson which we do learn from this incident is, yes, when we look for a spouse, we should make sure that they have good qualities, they should have deen. And secondly, not only for ourselves, when we're looking for spouses for our children, or for our brother, or for our sister, or for anyone, for another Muslim as well, we should always be honest. Make sure that if you are, you know, putting a proposal, if you are getting two people married, if you are making this, if you are looking for a proposal for anyone, then make sure you find that proposal which is of a person who has the fear of Allah, a person who has deen, a person who has a connection with Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because that is the way of success in the future. Wealth, beauty, these kind of things will be there one day, next day it won't be there, eventually it will finish. But deen is such a thing that if it is there, then inshallah, everything else will come with the deen, inshallah. Because keep in mind that, you know, marriage is not only a connection between bride and groom, dulha or dulhan, no. Marriage is a connection between two families. Two families are mixing with each other. Two families are joining ties. A new rishta, a new relation, a sacred bond is about to begin. So that is why if the foundation of this bond is the taqwa, is the fear of Allah, is the teachings of Islam, then inshallah you will see how strong this foundation will be, that the tree and the branches which will grow on this foundation will inshallah remain for very long. Otherwise we have seen situations where people went after wealth, people went after beauty, people went after, you know, popularity or fame, whatever the case is, and unfortunately, the outcome is that, you know, within few days, sometimes even the same day, the divorce happens and families are broken. And then people cry. Whereas Islam had told you that look for deen, look for Islam, look for the teachings of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and teachings of Allah Ta'ala in your future spouse. Sayyidina Shaykh Kirmani rahmatullahi ta'ala was from a royal family. But he rahmatullahi ta'ala had chosen to lead a life of piety. And he had distanced himself from the worldly engagements. He had a daughter who was very beautiful and righteous. One day, the king of Kirmani sent a marriage proposal for his daughter. However, he did not like the idea of his daughter becoming a queen and inclining towards the world. So he sent a message back and asked for 3 days. During this time, He went from masjid to masjid searching for a pious young man. During his search, he came across a young man who had the light of worship and righteousness on his face. So he asked him, "Are you married?" He replied in a negative. Sheikh Kirmani rahmatullah then asked, "Do you wish to marry a girl who recites the Quran, establishes salah, is beautiful, and who is righteous?" He replied, "I am a poor individual. Who will marry such a pious woman like that to me?" He rahmatullahi ta'ala replied, "I will. Take these gold coins, purchase some bread with one coin, some condiment with one, and some perfume with one." So the young man bought those things, and Sheikh Kirmani rahmatullahi ta'ala married his daughter to that pious young man. When the daughter left her home and arrived at the husband's home, she saw that there was nothing in the home except for a container of water and a piece of bread on that container. She asked, "What is this bread?" Her husband replied, "It is leftover bread from yesterday, which I put out for iftar." Hearing this, she said, "Take me home." The young man said, "I had feared that the daughter of Sheikh Kirmani could not stay in the home of a poor man like me." The girl said, "Allah, Allah, 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 Allah. I am not returning on account of your poverty. Rather, it is because I sense that your certitude is weak. I am surprised at my father for referring to you as someone who is righteous, virtuous, and pious. The state of your trust in Allah Almighty is such. You saved yesterday's bread for today. Is that how weak your trust is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Subhanallah, subhanallah." Look how excellent these people were. The young man was deeply affected by these words and expressed remorse. The girl then said, "I cannot stay in a house where food is kept for even one meal time. Either I will stay here or the bread." Hearing this, the young man immediately left and gave that piece of bread away in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful incident this is. And whenever I listen to this incident, you know, it just touches my heart. You see how wonderful our pious predecessors were. Their teachings, their ways, their practices. So lovely that if we try and adopt some of their teachings in our life, we'll see how mubarak, how blessed, how wonderful our living, our lifestyle, our nikah, our marriages, our bonds, our relations, everything will become wonderful and unique. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Some beautiful hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in front of me. And a hadith of Bukhari Sharif, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a woman is married for four reasons: her wealth, her family status, her beauty, and her religion. But you should give preference to religion over the other things. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you receive a proposal from a man whose religiosity and character you like, then marry your daughter to him. If you do not do this, trials and great tribulations will arise. Subhanallah, how beautiful the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. That you make nikah to someone, make nikah to a woman because of her deen. Look for her deen. That is going to benefit you, going to benefit your children, going to benefit everyone, inshallah. For this beautiful bond between men and women, Islam has a system called nikah. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran in Surah Nisa, the third verse, Allah Ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ. Translation of Kanzul Iman: marry therefore the woman who please you. Subhanallah. Likewise, there are many other blessings regarding nikah which is mentioned. Let's listen to some beautiful ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which encourage nikah and mention the virtues of nikah, inshallah. We will discuss this after a short break to listen to some beautiful pearls. And as soon as we return, we will carry on with the discussion. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
We all go through difficulties in life. Allah Ta'ala has said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Mufuman, Allah Ta'ala has said, He will definitely test people with fear, with hunger, shortage of wealth, shortage of life, fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and glad tidings for the patient ones. Instead of thinking, oh, why me? Instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, we should think to ourselves, if it wasn't for this difficulty that I'm going through, I wouldn't have bowed down perhaps in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wouldn't be crying my eyes out in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the benefits of going through that difficulty. The ulama say many a times, a stubborn person is only brought close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these difficulties. And that's a massive blessing for him. Because if that person hadn't faced difficulties, he would never have turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would be knee deep in fulfilling his desires, and many times unlawful desires. So with difficulties, there's always a hidden wisdom, secret behind it. We don't know that secret. But the ulama have said you can think like this, that if you didn't go through that difficulty, it wouldn't have brought you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us true patience upon calamities.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. سبحان الله. Welcome back to our silsila. You are watching The Light of Guidance, and today we are discussing the Islamic teachings regarding marriage, regarding nikah. Alhamdulillah, before the break and before in the beginning of the episode, we discussed a beautiful account of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, some beautiful lessons from the daughter-in-law's taqwa and the piety and the fear of Allah ta'ala which she had. And alhamdulillah, some beautiful ahadith we discussed, and the Quranic ayat which encourages us to make nikah, because this is the way in which a man and woman become lawful and permissible for each other. Some beautiful ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which encourage nikah and mention the virtues and the blessings of nikah. A beautiful hadith mentioned in Musannaf Abdul Razak. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, perform nikah and have lots of offspring. For I will have pride before the other nations on the day of judgment on account of you. Subhanallah. Another beautiful hadith in Nasai Sharif. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, those from among you who have the ability to get married should do so. For nikah lowers one's gaze and protects one's private parts. And the one who does not have the ability to perform nikah should fast, for fasting is a shield for him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, indeed, the one who performed nikah saved half of his faith. Now he should fear Allah Almighty regarding the other half. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whenever any one of you performs nikah, shaitan says, alas, the son of Adam has saved 2/3 of his religion from me. Another beautiful hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in Musnad Anas bin Malik. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, two cycles of salah of the married person are better than 82 cycles of the unmarried person. Subhanallah. How beautiful and wonderful these fadail and excellences are of nikah, of the sacred bond. This is why Islam has mentioned so many fadail, so many excellences, so many beauties of nikah. And with that, Islam also gives us the teaching that if you want your house to be a Mubarak house, then what you should do is obviously adopt taqwa, have sabr, make shukr, and lots of other things. You see, when the khutbah for nikah is being recited, then normally, you know, the ayat which are recited, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ O people, fear Allah. O people, fear Allah. You know, O you who believe, fear Allah Ta'ala. Why? Fear your Lord. Fear that Allah Ta'ala who created you. Fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. Why? The moment a person has the fear of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he will start looking after the rights of the other party. A woman, if she has the fear of Allah, she will start taking care of the rights of the husband. And a husband, if he has the fear of Allah, he will start taking care of the rights of the woman. And if a person does this, then subhanallah, what else do you need? How mubarak the relation will be? How excellent the marriage will be? How beautiful the nikah will be? How sacred this bond will be? That is why Islam has kept taqwa right at the top. The priority is taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to get married? Then have taqwa. When you have taqwa, you're not going to beat your wife. When you have taqwa, you're not going to hit your wife. When you have taqwa, you're not going to insult your wife. When you have taqwa, you're not going to degrade your wife. When you have taqwa, you're going to make sure you provide her nafqa, her expenses, whatever the case is. When you have taqwa, you will make sure you are fulfilling her rights. When you have taqwa, you make sure you will express your love to her. When you have taqwa, there are so many things you are going to do. When a girl, lady has taqwa, she will make sure to respect her husband. She'll make sure to take care of the husband. She'll make sure to take care of the children. She'll make sure to look after the house. She'll make sure to respect the family members of the husband. Likewise, from the husband's side, there are so many things that when you have the taqwa and the fear of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala and His beloved Rasul has commanded me to do this, 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 and has prevented and stopped me and prohibited me from doing this, this, this. Then you will see how, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, your life, your system, your marriage, your nikah, everything will fall into place. Why? Because you are following the teachings of Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's so much which we can discuss, so much which we can speak. And this is a topic which, you know, needs lots of detail. And, you know, basically we have some series, some beautiful things regarding this topic here. But, you know, it's not, time is not permitting us. But inshallah, in the future, if we ever get a chance, then inshallah, we will try and discuss more about this beautiful point. One last hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam I want to share in front of you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, and hadith is mentioned in Muslim Imam Ahmad, that the most blessed nikah is the one in which the burden is less. Allah Allah. Mufti Ahmad Yahya Naimi writes in the Sharah of this hadith very beautifully. And he says, the nikah in which both parties spend a little, the dowry is small, the mahar is small, the bridal gift isn't burdensome, nobody falls into debt, there are no strict conditions from either side, and the girl is given away whilst having trust in Allah Almighty, such a nikah is very blessed, and such a marriage becomes a lasting one. SubhanAllah, how beautiful this is. Today we look at the expenses and the expenditure which we have in our nikahs and, you know, everything which is extravaganza. Allah, Allah, Allah. Then we see, you know, the amount of expenses people go, the amount of limits people cross just to get their daughter married. And they do every wrong thing, every filthy thing. When you ask them and speak to them, they say, munasab ek hi to beti hai. Munasab ek hi to beta hai. Munasab bachcho ke khwahish hai. Munasab ye hai. Munasab wo. I say Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught you simplicity in your nikah, in your wedding. And by Allah, we have seen the nikah, the marriage which was done simple, the barakah and the blessings are so much until today the couples are happily married with each other. Don't ever think you can buy someone with pomp and glory. No. It's there for as long as the love is there for pomp and glory, then as long as the pomp and glory is there, the love is there. The moment that finishes, the love also finishes and everything else also finishes. So again, marry a girl, marry a man for the deed. That is the thing which is going to benefit in this world and the hereafter as well. With these few words, we come to the conclusion of today's discussion. Remember, instill the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your hearts, in your mind. This love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love by Allah, you have everything. You lose this love, by Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see inshallah in our coming discussions. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance, 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 the light of guidance.